It is good to have each of you out today. Also, for this month, we have a theme that we've mentioned before. We're going to talk about war. It seemed to be an appropriate one to deal with, given the situations in the world at the moment. And picked as a memory verse, Psalms 27 and verse 3, which says, "Though a host encamps against me, my heart will not fear. The war rise against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident." And that will be our memory verse for this month. But what I'd like to deal with today is the concept of war. Now, my youth, yes, I was young one time, the Vietnam War was being fought. And it was definitely an unpopular war. It generated a lot of protest songs, a lot of protests in various areas. One particular song that was quite popular was called War. It was written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong. And the beginning of the song exclaims, "War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing." And if you understand that people typically don't like wars. So the question is, can we get rid of them? Can wars and acts of violence end? And that's what I would like for us to examine today. We need to understand why wars exist. See, wars exist because there are people in the world who are selfish. When people focus only on themselves, they don't think about other people. And as a result, conflicts happen. James warns that within the church as well. In James chapter 4, and in verse 1, he says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, and so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures." Therein this lies the problem. People are focused on what do I want? What would make, in my viewpoint, me happy? And that causes conflict. Because what makes me happy probably won't make somebody else happy. And those conflicts then escalate to quarrels, strife, and it sometimes breaks out into outright warfare. Jude warns us in Jude verse 16, starting there. Jude, and starting at verse 16, he says, "These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts." We haven't solved the problem of lust. Strong desires for things that people shouldn't have. People are going to be people. People are going to desire what somebody else has. They're going to want more than what they currently have. And a lot of these people are not motivated by godliness. In fact, they are arrogant, is what Jude warns us. They have pride. And they get their way. They'll tell people whatever they want to hear just so they can have an advantage. Because they're after more. And so in their arrogance, well, they want to dominate everything. Take a look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and look at verse 6. Will not all of these take up a taunt song against him? Even mockery and insinuations against him? And say, woe to him who increases what is not his. For how long? And make himself rich with loans. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? And those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them. Because you have looted many nations, all the remainder of the peoples will loot you. Because human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to town, and to all its inhabitants. People want more. They try to gain more. They defraud people. They cheat. And eventually it comes back to haunt them. And eventually, wars break out. Eventually what they'd end up doing is overextending themselves. Is what he says in the second half of this. They go beyond where they need to be. In fact, I forgot to read verse 4 and 5, didn't I? Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but for the righteous will live by his faith. Furthermore, wine betrays a haughty man. So he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like shield. He is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. Think about all the empires in the past. Constantly trying to bring in more. Never satisfied. Never to say, well, I'm ruling enough. This is good enough. Babylonian Empire, Assyrian before that one. The Medo-Persians did it. The Greeks did it. The Romans did it. Go into the Ottoman Empire. You just keep going and going and going. Everyone grabs more, but eventually they overextend themselves. And eventually there's a reckoning. In fact, that's what Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of his possessor. It happens on an individual scale. It happens on a global scale. When violence is used, people tend to respond in violence. But there's another reason wars exist. And that's because people are just not concerned about what is right. They're not concerned about justice. Again in Proverbs, this time in chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and in verse 7. When a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish. The hope of strong men perishes. There are people who think that might makes right. There are people out there who basically are convinced that if I can take it, then I deserve it. That's their idea of justice. And so their desires lead to violence. Take a look at Proverbs 13 and in verse 2. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. They're not looking for the betterment of mankind. They want things. And if they get to exert strength, they like it. There's no concern about the neighbor. There's no concern about equal treatment. Like Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. We'll be right back to Proverbs again. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. This is the law and the prophet. But we got people who are not concerned about justice. They're not considering equal treatment. there are people that just refuse to act in a just manner. In Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 7. The violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. And there again is the same point. People try to get more with violence, and that violence is just going to come back to haunt them. No matter how strong you are, yeah, you can intimidate people and get your way, but eventually somebody else comes along who's stronger. And another reason why wars exist is that there's just sin in the world. That's what this scripture reading we had, Isaiah 59, is about. But take a look again at verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 59, starting at verse 6. It says, their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their acts or works are acts of violence, iniquity. An act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highway. There are people that are just corrupt. And corrupt people tend to be violent people. Now, they might hide their intent. We go back to Proverbs again, this time Proverbs chapter 10. And in verse 11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And that's what we got to be careful about. Not everybody's going to reveal their intentions. But they're not going to gain peace this way. Going back to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and in verse 8. They do not know the way of peace. There is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. You can't follow this particular line of action and get peace. The person who does it doesn't get it. Anybody who follows them doesn't get it. This is not the way conflicts are settled. In fact, it is only in heaven we're going to have peace. And that's because there is no sin in heaven. Take a look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, and starting at verse 25, it says, in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's basically thinking, well, there's no need to close the doors, no need to lock anything, because there is no crime. There's no enemies. There's no sin. But we live in a world that's full of sin. And people are focused on getting what they want, regardless of whether it's right or not. And the answer is there's going to be conflicts because of that. And so what we have to understand is wars can't always be avoided. God hates violence, but we're dealing with mankind who have free choice. In Psalms chapter 11, Psalms 11, and in verse 5, it says, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. God puts us all to a test, but they're going to be violent people. And we'll have to deal with that. In fact, Solomon warns in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, And starting with verse 1, it says, there is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Sometimes we forget that sometimes we have to make a stand. Even though as Christians we oppose violence because it comes from wickedness, we have to understand sometimes the answer to the violence has to be violence itself. There's times when evil has to be punished. And so sometimes war breaks out simply because people are standing up for what is right. And there are always going to be wars. Jesus warns about this in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And starting with verse 6. Matthew 24, starting with verse 6, he's talking about Jerusalem and the times leading up to the destruction of it. But he mentions this. He says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for these things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. These things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Yes, there was more unusual wars breaking out. But the point that Jesus is also making, those things have to be. Because of the nature of mankind, because there are wicked people, because there are violent people in the world, because there are greedy people in the world, wars are going to break out. A long time ago when I was a teenager again, my brother got fascinated with that topic. He started looking back through history, at least the history of the United States. I don't know if you realize it, there's been a war in every generation. You make a generation 23 years. Every 23-year period, there's a war breaks out. Some of them are short, some of them are long. Some are popular, some are not. And we sometimes talk about our periods of peace. We haven't had any, other than short intervals in between. Wars are going to happen. But what we have to remember is violence doesn't last. Going back to Psalm 73, and in verse 35. And I believe I have miswrote. Now I don't remember which psalm it was. I have 35 to 40, and it's not. Could I have got my fingers over that far? I think so. Psalm 73, 15. I think my fingers slid over. I was typing this out. If I had said, if I speak thus I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome to my sight, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you cast them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. God will take care of the evil. They're not in places of security. They might seem like they're winning at the moment, but they'll end. Violence does not last. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 31. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Don't envy the wicked because they're not going to be around very long. God will take care of them. It might seem they get away with it, but remember that every one of us face final judgment. There is no getting away with evil. We often talk about peace on earth. There will be no peace because men are occupying it. And until the final, when God comes and brings us to his heavenly home, we'll have to deal with the fact that there are going to be wars. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like to pray as your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.